we sat in the mailroom.
Ephesians chapter 1, while reading through Ephesians 1, there was one word in this that kept my attention. It caught my attention. And after reading it, looking up in the concordance, I found that this one word is found 28 more times. It's found three times in the first chapter, and then found 28 more times in the New Testament. And that word is found in verse 11. Look at it. Verse 11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated." An inheritance. Look at verse 14. Talking about the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Inheritance. This kept, it was, caught my attention. And as I kept reading this, and like I said, it's found 28 more times in the New Testament, the word inheritance, or some form of the word. All right, verses 15 through 18 will serve as a text, though. So let's read those again. And needless to say, the title of the subject of our message this morning is inheritance, our inheritance. Look at verses 15 through 18 again. "Wherefore," Paul is writing this, and this is a prayer. He says, "After I heard of your faith, which is a gift," it's a gift of God, "in the Lord Jesus, and love," and that's a gift too, "that he sheds abroad in the hearts of his people." He says to these Ephesians and all saints that, "I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints," which is proof, that faith. He says, "I cease not to give thanks for you. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers," praying for you. And this is what he prays, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom," that you might know some things, someone, "and revelation, that he might truly reveal to you," or in you, "the knowledge of him," that you might know God, might know Christ. Verse 18, "and that the eyes of your understanding," your innermost understanding, your being enlightened, "that you may know what is this, the hope of his calling." Right now, it's a hope. Someday it'll give way to reality. But right now, it is a hope. But it's a good hope. It's a sure hope. And this is what Paul is saying here. I want you to know what this hope is. This hope of his calling. This good hope. This sure hope. This certain hope that will someday give way to reality. He says, I want you to know, it's my prayer, that you might know what this hope is, who this hope is, and, look at this, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, or with the saints, when the saints go marching in. I know that's an old, used and abused song, but it's true. That's what Paul is saying. When the saints go marching in, that train, that heavenly train of saints, go marching in behind their king in his train, and they fill that temple, Paul says, I want you to know something about that now. I want you to experience that now. Now, the inheritance. All right, let's look at this inheritance. I have 3 points, very easy to remember, and very easy to take notes. What is this inheritance? First of all, what is it? Secondly, how is it obtained? How do we get this inheritance? And thirdly, what is this earnest of the inheritance? All right, what is this inheritance? What is this inheritance he's talking about? Well, look over at Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. What is this inheritance? Matthew 19. Now, if I were to announce publicly, say I were to go on the radio or television and announce this morning that certain individuals, certain people had been left a vast fortune in houses, in land, and in money. I will go on TV this morning or radio and announce that certain individuals have been left a vast, vast fortune in houses, land, and money. And if anyone is interested in knowing if that is them, show up at the Central Baptist Church. This building and the parking lot wouldn't hold the people, would it? This part of the county wouldn't hold the people, would it? Huh? Look at Matthew 19. Well, that is not the inheritance that I'm announcing this morning. Matthew 19, verse 29, Christ says, everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Everlasting life is what this inheritance is. Well, many people might say, well, I'm interested in living forever. Yeah, that sounds good to me. I'm interested in living forever. But that's not what eternal life means. Living forever. We do. We will. Scripture seems to indicate that some will live in eternal death. Right? Not eternal life, but eternal death, where the worm dieth not. Hell. Most people are interested in heaven, life after death. Most people believe in some sort of life after death and are interested in heaven and are really more interested in heaven being a continuation of what we're doing right now. A kind of a carnal utopia, you know, a life of endless pleasures, limitless, fleshly pleasures. Most people are interested in that. Turn over to John chapter 11 with me. But the Lord seemed to indicate that that's not it. He talks about leaving houses and land, didn't he? And he said, you will inherit eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life is this inheritance. And this eternal life is not merely the length of it, but it is the essence of it. Now listen to me, and you need to determine whether or not this is what you want. If this is the inheritance you're looking forward to and will have. It's not the length of it, but it's the quality of it. Eternal life. In John 11, look at what the Lord says to Martha. Now, Martha and Mary were two sisters whose brother had died, brother named Lazarus. You know the story. And they were distraught. They were upset. Their brother had died, naturally. We We're upset. We're saddened when someone we love dies. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, verse 21, she came running and met him and said unto Jesus, verse 21, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, well, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am life. Why would you want to call him back to this dead place? I am life. In another place, in John 1, verse 4, says this, in him was life. And the life was the light of the world, was manifest. He said to Thomas over in John 14, 6, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. Where are you going? You're leaving us. Why are you going? He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Well, we don't know the way you're going or where you're going or what you're going. We don't know. He's Thomas, I am the way. It's not a where, it's a who. I am the truth. You know me, you know the truth. I am the life. The life. It says over in John, 1 John chapter 1, it says, listen to this. Listen to these verses. Listen as I read them. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it. Life. We've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That life, we've seen it, we've handled life, and declare unto you that you also may have fellowship with us. Know something about this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know truly our fellowship, that life is with the Father and with His Son. This is, can one of our young people quote that? Could they quote it if I asked one of them to do it? Huh? John 17:3. Would I embarrass somebody if I... Jennifer's hanging her head. I'll quote it. I'll leave you alone. But they know it. They've been taught it. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true... Rebecca, you remember? The only true God and Jesus. This is life. This is life. Real living. This is living. Ah, the life of God in Christ. Living with and enjoying God. Living with and enjoying God. Before God created it, Steve, before God created anything, before He created the heavens, sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, man, there was God, right? In the beginning, God. The Son, the Father, the Spirit, God. And they were happy. They didn't have anything. What do you mean? That's life. That's living. I'm going to try to explain that. I don't think it's something you really can explain. I think it's something we have to experience, because it holds no enticement for those who haven't experienced it. See what I'm saying? Life is enjoying God. Adam. Adam in the garden. Adam didn't have, as Brother Bell would say, didn't have a TV set, didn't have a radio, didn't have a car. What else is there? Didn't have any clothes. Didn't have a house. What else is there that we think is he's living a good life? What is else is there? Anything. What? Somebody say something. I don't know. He didn't have nothing. What did he have? God. He was living. He was alive unto God, wasn't it? That's all he needed. Turn back to Ephesians 1 now. Living with, and this is eternal life. Now read it again. Verse 17 and 18, he says, I want you to know now, this is my prayer, that God will give you the spirit of wisdom, real wisdom, that you might really know something. What? Well, that it might be revealed to you, this wisdom, this something you need. What is it? The knowledge of Him. Know Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That you may know the hope of His calling. Him calling you. What it means. Him calling you to Himself. To life. And what the riches of this glory, of this inheritance is going to be. With the saints. Life. What it's going to be like to really live. Someday. We need to start living now. That's what he's saying. We need to start living now. That's his prayer. Life. The inheritance, here it is now. Let me see if you're interested. I'm going to look at your faces. What we get, this is the inheritance that all Christians get. All believers get. You get to live forever with Jesus Christ. Enjoy Him. Huh? Now, the only way that I can illustrate this is like two lovers. You remember, don't you? Don't you, Henry? What it was like 100 years ago? Back when you met that young, dark-haired woman, young lady, no, dark-haired, beautiful. You just smitten, weren't you? Smitten. Taken by. You didn't care what kind of car you drove, what kind of clothes you wear. You didn't care about anything with her, did you? Smitten, taken by her. She said, "That's my beloved." And she said, "And he's my beloved. My beloved is mine, and I'm his, and that's all we need." And that's how you started, pretty much, wasn't it? When you got married, wasn't that pretty much how you started? Didn't own a home. Didn't your car was about broken down. Some of them are still that way. But you've got each other. You had each other, and your parents tried to dissuade you, don't marry him, or don't marry her, or get you a house first. Get you a good car. Get you a good job. No, I got to have her. I don't need all those. I need her. That's the only way I can describe this. What it means. And you know that you started living then, didn't you? As a young boy kicking up your oats and all that, sowing your oats, kicking up your heels, you thought you were living, didn't you? Oh, I'm living now. Until you met her. You fell for her and y'all join that vital union, that consummation of it, and just, oh, the ecstasy. And later the agony. But I'm talking about that sweetheart, first felt, first found love. That's what it's going to be like for an eternity. Unending, unbridled, unspeakable, indescribable joy. With Christ. Huh? He'll just get more and more lovely to you. You'd spend it all with Him in eternity.
Does that interest you?
That's what you get. That's what all people going to heaven get. Now, if I said that, if I announced that publicly, well, we'd have, this is all we'd have. Right here, isn't it? However many people, 40 people here. Listen to this hymn. The hymn writer, I think she knew. He, Charles, I think he knew what he wanted. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I'm safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. Glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory. Be glory for me. Friends will be there I've loved long ago. That's fine. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet, just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. Fanny Crosby, that blind hymn writer, said, when I look on His face, face to face, that will be heaven for me. Heaven. That will be glory. And you know, I said a while ago, most people are interested in heaven. They feel like what they want is heaven to be a continuation of what they enjoy doing here. You know, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. It's a continuation of what you enjoy doing here. Those that enjoy worshiping Christ will be in heaven worshiping Christ. Those that enjoy hearing the gospel, they're going to hear it like they've never heard it before. Those that enjoy fellowship with the saints, they're going to be a party, a feast, a fellowship, an unbroken time of fellowship, never end. In heaven. Huh? But there's more. There's more. That's the cake. And here's the icing on it. You know, we get the cake and get to eat it too. Revelation 21. But you know, I'm not trying to entice anybody with heaven by these things. This won't be the enticement. The enticement better be Christ. All right? That's right. That's right. Revelation 21, look at it. Just as God blessed Abraham. You remember when Abraham and Lot came to, they came to the hill and the promised land was there, and Abraham being a man of God, and he offered Lot, he said, you take whatever you want. Lot, I'll take what's left. How could he do that? Jeanette, Abraham's the one who did all the work. Lot was a no good, worthless nephew, wasn't he? He wasn't. Lot didn't do anything, Ed, did he? He didn't even deserve being on this. You'd see it later on. But Abraham said, go ahead, Lot. You take whatever you want. I'll take whatever's left. How could he say that? Huh? He had all he needed. That's how. That's how he said that. And later, you know, he got to feeling sorry for himself, didn't he? Later he said, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I should have just gave Lot the backside, you know, 40 acres, and I keep some of those well-watered plains. What did Lot get, Henry? He got the well-watered plain, but he about got burned up in the process, didn't he? And the Lord came to Abraham in Genesis 15 and said, Abraham, what are you pouting about? What are you pouting about, Abraham? Well, Lot got, and I'm roaming around on these old mountains. I'm Rocky Mountain, trying to get all these rocks out of the soil. Every time I dig, is a rock in these mountains. Lord, what do I, Abraham, I am thy portion. You get me. Oh, Lord.
And that's what David said, wasn't he, when he was envious. He said, I was a fool. I forgot.
How could I be so foolish? I forgot. There's only one thing needful anyway. Revelation 21, but you know, just like God gave Abraham himself, later on, John, God gave Abraham, he was a rich man, wasn't it? He gave him a lot. Just like God gave Solomon, remember Terry offered Solomon anything you want, make a wish. Solomon said, I need wisdom. I think that's how he could write Proverbs 8, wasn't it, John? Get wisdom. Christ said wisdom. Oh, he had wisdom. God gave him that, and God gave him, oh my, what did God give Solomon? Well, God the Father gives us, His adopted children, all things with Christ. All this and Christ too. Look at it. Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, or all these things. And he'd been describing some things in heaven. He that overcometh shall inherit all these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. These things. What are these things? Well, I've already told you, it's life. It's Christ. You get Christ. It's what you get. What about he that overcometh? Well, John said, whatever's born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. So he that believes Christ is the overcomer. He that believes Christ shall inherit all things. All things given to us. Given to us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things given to us are those who are found in Christ, accepted in the beloved. What are those things? What are these other things that we get? He said, all things. We get Christ now, and that ought to be enticement enough. All things are the love of God, acceptance with God, and this is not all, this is just a few. Pardon by God, honor with God, glory, we get to behold His glory, we got to get to bask in it. We get to bask in it. All the things of the kingdom. The scripture says that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. There's never been a kingdom. There's never been a place. Wrap up all the glories, all the beauty, all the excellencies of all the kingdoms, the Babylonians, the Romans, the Persians, the Medes and the Persians, David, Solomon's kingdom, all the kingdoms ever on earth, wrap them all up and they wouldn't even shine in comparison to the beauty of that kingdom and the riches and the glory of that kingdom. And he says we'll be heirs or have an inheritance of that kingdom. We'll be able to come. He's made us kings and priests, princes unto God. They come and go in the kingdom. Everything at our disposal. What's that? What? Everything. Everything that God, what does God have? He said, cattle on a thousand hills, all the gold and the silver. We won't need those things. We won't need those things. But everything. All right? Everything. The kingdom. Now, I've already said that the primary thing is Him. Did you read that in Revelation 21? He said, I'll be their God. I'll be their God. God will dwell with them. Look over at verse 2 there. Are you at chapter 21, Revelation 22? Or 21, verse 2?
John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Here's the new city of God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, here it is, Zion, what you've been waiting for. The tabernacle of God is with men now, and He's with them. He will dwell with them." Who's He? Oh, my. Who is He? He it is. Who is He? Who is this? In whom we live and move and have our being. And it says, He will dwell with them, and they'll be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And then the rest of it's just gravy. That's the biscuit. The rest of it's gravy. I've said before that the reason I believe the streets are going to be gold is to show our disdain of it. Men fight and kill over gold now, don't they? That's all it means anything to them now. Well, up there we're going to be walking on streets of it to show that it was a big deal. Do we really get taken with and enamored with asphalt, y'all? Are you excited about asphalt? Now, Rick and Jenny would. If they just had a little bit of it. John would. I was out on his road the other day and sunk to my... Streets of gold, walking on it. Somebody's going to say, "Aren't those streets something?" Oh, I really hadn't thought about it. Yeah, they are, aren't they? They're beautiful. What about those pearly gates? Is that what those were made out of? Well, yeah, they're pretty. I hadn't really given it much thought. As somebody else said, something else has taken my attention. Isn't He pretty? Isn't He beautiful? Would you look at there? He's calling you. Me? He wants an audience with you. Well, and whatever is in the... I don't know. Paul said, "I went there and I heard things." He didn't even try to describe them. But whatever is in the kingdom, whatever God has, is ours. Vicki, whatever, to freely enjoy. And right now, the earth is ours to freely enjoy. Using it, but not abusing it. Don't make it your God. That's idolatry. Don't set your affection on it. Okay? All right? How do we obtain this inheritance? The inheritance is life. The inheritance is Christ. The inheritance is the kingdom, whatever that is. Inheritance is the earth. He said, "Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth," the new earth. And I think the new earth will be much like the old earth, except without sin. We'll be eating and drinking and enjoying many of the things now, except without sin. And I can't describe that. No man can. But when Christ came down after He arose from the grave, He came back, He had a body, didn't He? He ate some food, and He said, "Give me something to eat." He said, "A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones," didn't he? He ate something. He had a glorious body, a glorified body, and He enjoyed being around. He stayed for 40 days, didn't he? Stayed for 40 days, fellowshipping with His... So that tells me that the new earth is going to be much like this one, except without sin. And there's nothing wrong with this one, except for sin. Isn't it? Except for sin. All right, how do we obtain this inheritance? Well, look back at the text, Ephesians 1. How do we obtain this inheritance? Look at verse 11 again. It says, "In Christ also, in Him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance." How do you... let me choose somebody here. Let me just pick on my wife here. My wife here, her father, when he dies, her father dies, he may have left in his will an inheritance, right? Some things for her. An inheritance for her. How does she get it? How does she get this inheritance? By being a good girl? Huh? By working real hard to be in her father's favor? By trying her best? By being moral and so forth? How does she get it here? She's her father's daughter. Huh? She gets it by virtue of being her father's daughter. And she didn't have anything to do with that, did she, Joe? Huh? She didn't make her decision to be born, did she? And neither do we. Neither do we. God made that decision. He decided who was going to be in his family. That's what all of Ephesians 1 is about, isn't it, Terry? He decided. That's what predestination is. As I've said before, it's planned parenthood by God Almighty. It's God Almighty saying, I'm going to have a family. I've got one son. I have one boy. One only begotten. Well beloved. Oh, he's a beauty. God said about his son, oh, he's a beauty. And God decided one day that he would have a whole family just like that boy. Huh? Isn't it? We'll have a whole lot of them. And they're all going to be like him because I'm not going to settle for second best from here on out. After you've had the best, you won't settle for less. And so God said, I'm going to have a whole family just like him. I'm going to elect. I'm going to choose a people. And he did, Joe. He chose a people before they were ever born, before the children had done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Romans 9:11. He chose a people. Election. And he put them in Christ. Put them in Christ. He found them in Christ. They were accepted in the Beloved. They were predestinated to be conformed to the image of God. Of Jesus Christ. Chosen by God. That's how we get this inheritance. Chosen by God. Adoption talks about it. We're made heirs by a spirit of adoption. Adoption. Christ was the only begotten Son of God. We're adopted. I know at least one person in here who knows something about adoption. And he was mighty glad that somebody chose him, being without parents. Mighty glad that somebody chose him. He didn't have any problem with adoption, does he? He's thankful for adoption. And so is this old sinner. Huh? I'm not the child of God by nature. I'm a child of wrath, even as others. Aren't you, Terry? I'm mighty thankful for adoption. That one day God Almighty chose me out of the mass of humanity. Didn't have to choose anybody. But praise God, he included me. He adopted me. Now, I'm not going to get mad and argue over the fact that he didn't choose somebody else. I'm just going to praise him from here on out that he chose me, adopted me, and made me one of the family. Adoption. And the new birth, Peter said, it's also, this is a mystery. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. That's the new birth. Christ said, you must be born from above. Except a man, a woman, be born from above. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't get in it. Except a man be born of water and spirit. That is, born the first time of your mother. You know, when her water breaks and you come out, that's born of water. Physical birth, the first time you have to be born, you have to be a human being. Well, God will save you. Didn't save the angels. He saves humans. Born the first time and of spirit, of water and of spirit. Born the first time, born the second time. Born by his spirit, by the word. And that's a mystery. That also means born of water and spirit, born of the word of God, which is the water of his word, and born by the spirit taking that word and washing you, bathing you, giving birth to you. We also get this inheritance by not only by adoption, by God's choice, by adoption, by birth. But look over Hebrews 9 with me, and I'll hurry. Hebrews chapter 9. Thirdly, we get this inheritance, Hebrews 9, look at verse 15. Hebrews 9, 15. We get this by being sons or daughters of God. We don't have anything to do with that. God chooses us, gives us faith in Christ. But it also comes by death. Comes by birth. A choice comes by birth. It comes by death. Right? You get an inheritance, John. You're not going to get it until your daddy dies. Or your mama die, whoever it is that gives you an inheritance. You're not going to get it until they die, are you? Huh? Well, there was a death that was necessary for our inheritance. Look at verse 15. For this cause, Christ is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under, they that were under the first testament, law, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Death. All the blessings of God come, are bestowed upon us, come to us, because God's Son died. Because He died. Died on Calvary's tree. He's the firstborn. He's called the heir of all things. We're called joint heirs with Him. Joint heir. And everything is bestowed upon us because Christ died. The firstborn died. And the Scripture says, God hath chosen our inheritance for us. David said, lines fell into me in pleasant places. He chose it for me. Christ, you get Christ. I've told you this before, that God gives people what they want. And like I said, heaven will be a continuation of what you enjoy doing here. God gives people what they want. You want God, you want Christ, that's what you get. That's what you get. You want the world, that's what you get. And what the world gets with the world. But we get Christ. And God chooses our inheritance for us. The lines fall in pleasant places. We're going to see it someday. And Christ, God chose us. Christ purchased it. This is how we got this inheritance. Christ purchased it. He bought the field. He bought the field with His own blood. He bought the people. Purchased with His own blood. All right, lastly, that's how we get the inheritance. The inheritance is Christ and the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. And life, and how we get it is God chooses, God gives birth to us, and Christ died to obtain it, the purchased possession. Look back at the text now one more time. Look at it again one more time. Ephesians 1. Look at verse 13. In whom, in Christ, you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom, in Christ also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. All right, now listen. Give me a couple minutes and I'll finished it. An earnest. If any of you have ever bought property, you know what an earnest is, okay? Don't you? An earnest is when you go to somebody and you give them like earnest money. Right? Have you ever given any earnest money down on something? Have you? Like a down payment. Earnest money, what it is more, it means more than that. This word. Earnest money is something given to show somebody, hey, I'm serious about this. And generally, it's a big sum. Today, the down payment is higher and higher than it's ever been. Some places charge 20% down payment to buy something. That's a big them up, isn't it? That's a big sum. And we give it to say, hey, I'm serious. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy this property. Here's the earnest. Here's the money. Here's a token. I'll be back to get the rest later. And the earnest is God's Spirit. Now, we're bought. We're His. He said, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're bought and paid for. Joe, I'm not saying He put down a down payment. No, He bought and paid for. But the Holy Spirit is an earnest given to us. Listen to me. Come on, I got blank looks on faces here. The Holy Spirit given to us, and this is what Paul Barber is talking about there in Ephesians, that you might know what this inheritance is. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes you know. All right? I'm going to try to explain it right here. The Holy Spirit is something God gives to us to show us that, hey, you're mine. You're mine. You're bought with a price. You inherit Christ. You get Christ. But you know the Scripture says it. Paul quoted it in 1 Corinthians 2, and it was in Isaiah 64. It says, I have not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. You see, if I could make you understand right now what it means to inherit Christ, you wouldn't be sitting down right now. If I could explain it to you, this is the Holy Spirit. I can't do it. The Holy Spirit has to make us experience it. It's an earnest. He tells us, hey, you get Christ. You are mine. I've bought and paid for. You're mine. You get life with Christ for eternity. Some of you got a little glimmer of that a while ago. Just a little glimmer. I saw a little glee on your face. Just a little bit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, you're mine. You're bought and paid for. Wait till you see what's coming. Wait till you see the rest. The best is yet to come. And the Holy Spirit is the earnest. He gives us the Holy Spirit to dwell with us for a time as a comforter. When they, no. Honey, don't you worry now. You've forgotten what's coming, what you got, who you are, what's coming. Look at here, honey. What you get. Honey out of the rock. Look here what you get. And you look against, what did I worry about? He's the earnest, you see. The token of it, of what's coming. The Spirit is a pledge and assurance of things to come. The Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. That's what He does. And you know why we don't get excited? Well, why are we dull of hearing? Didn't Paul say, isn't it because you're yet carnal? You're still dull of hearing it. How could Paul say when he's in prison, oh, I'm so happy? Huh? The Spirit is given to us, and what do? For the most part, we're all guilty. We quench Him. We despise the Spirit of grace. We grieve the Spirit given to us constantly. We forsake this. He says, how much more should we help one another? So much more as you see the day approaching. Not forsake this assembling of yourself. You're coming to hear the inheritance. Coming to hear about the inheritance. We're coming to hear about the inheritance. Huh? And when we come and hear it, every time we come to hear it, we get excited. A little bit, anyway, don't we? This is what I'm talking about. The foretaste, the Holy Spirit is a foretaste. What's that song? Foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchase of God. Born of His Spirit. Washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Visions of rapture now burst on my mouth. Words like that. That's the Holy Spirit is a foretaste of glory divine. Have you ever had little tastes? Like I said a while ago, somebody had a little taste. Just a little taste. As much, you see, we have this treasure in earthen vessel. Who is sufficient for these things? I'm groping right now for words. You ever had sweet tokens? That's what I'm talking about. Little sweet token. Mindy was reading to our ladies the other day, little love notes. She read to Teresa and Deborah poems that I had written her. She still got them. What's she want with those? Huh? She's got me. What's she need with them? They're just little tokens of love to her. You ever had little sweet tokens? Huh? You're not going to part with them. You're not going to part with them. Oh, and he wrote more than a few. And they're sweet tokens. You ever had any? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the earnest of God's Spirit saying, my love, my dove, my child. Nancy Parks, this is the Holy Spirit saying to you, oh, daughter, God Almighty, your maker is your husband, my daughter. Be of good cheer. I'm coming to get you, honey. In the meantime, just hush up. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you a story before you go to bed. Huh? That's what it is. Tokens of His Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit which make you long for that which is... Does that make you long for more? Huh? Do you ever get inexpressible joy upon hearing the gospel? Just inexpressible. You just can't. And you go try to tell it to somebody. It just falls. You'd had to been there. Have you ever had that? That's the earnest of His Spirit. You ever had that? Anybody? Huh? I'm telling you, this is God saying you're my child now. You get the inheritance. This is God's. Have you ever had that, Vicki Patton? Has the gospel ever just been the sweetest thing, sweetest note of Seraph's song, sweetest name on mortal tongue? Has it ever been that way to you? Ever? One time, it's the earnest of God's Spirit saying, Vicki Patton is one of my children. And she's going to live with me in a sweet by and by and listen to that gospel with inexpressible, indescribable, eternal joy. Unspeakable joy. That's what the Scripture talks about. Unbroken communion with God. Ever had a little bit? Just a little bit. We haven't had much. And it's the reason we... It's like I said, the reason right now as we hear about these things, we're not just going, whoopee, whoopee, whoopee. It's the reason some of them are just jumping down this aisle. Whoopee, whoopee, I'm ready to go now. Because... Oh, boy. We're just so dead, aren't we? So dull. So carnal. There's little tokens every now and then. Just every now and then. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about at all. But some of you do. Huh? Those little tokens. That's the earnest of God's Spirit. That's the earnest. And He's in earnest. And He says, now what I've started, I'll finish it. And in the meantime, I'm going to give you this little token every now and then. And really, I believe why we remain cold, not only is it our fault, but if we were all together spiritually, we couldn't stand this place. We couldn't stand it anymore. We couldn't stand it. We couldn't work our jobs. We couldn't live with... You know, if we were soaring with eagles, we couldn't live with turkeys. But little tokens every now and then, you soar, don't you? You soar. Off. You feel like Enoch. I'm ready. Open the gates. Here I come. Little tokens. Those are earnest. I sure thankful for those tokens, aren't you? Makes life worth living. And tonight we're going to shout hallelujah. if I don't get a shout tonight, one little show.
Well,
Brother Joe, come on up now.